and join me in praying. Heavenly Father, we've been talking today about that you are good God. That no matter what situation we are in, no matter the external circumstances, no matter what life is throwing at us, you are always good. Lord, I pray that you would teach us today what that means. Jesus, you come into this world saying that you are the good shepherd. Always good, inherently good. You are also our rock and our redeemer that we can rely on no matter what we're going through. I pray that for my brothers and sisters here today, that they would know that they can rely on you no matter what is going on in the world around them. That they can follow your voice, Jesus, because it is the voice of our good shepherd who is always leading us into good pastures. Pastures that are maybe new, that we don't know, but are always good for us. Jesus, I pray that your name will be glorified here today. And in your name I pray. Amen. So we have been going through a sermon series through the book of John. There are seven statements in the book of John where Jesus tells us who he is. Seven I am statements. We've so far looked at three of them. We started with the first one where Jesus says that I am the living bread. The second one was I am the light of the world. Last week we looked at the fact that Jesus is also the door. This week we'll be looking at the fact that Jesus also tells us that he is the good shepherd. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them up to the book of John. We're going to basically continue from last week. Last week we looked at John 10 verses 1 to 10. Today we'll look at John 10 verses 11 to 18. John 10 verses 11 to 18, I will be reading in the NIV. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. So as we go through it today, allow me to have some structure, as I love structure. And once again, we'll look at three things that we can take from our text as we just go through it bit by bit. First of all, we'll look at the fact that the good shepherd is a good shepherd. Secondly, we'll look at the fact that the good shepherd knows his sheep. And thirdly, the good shepherd loves his sheep. So let's unpack this text. But before we talk about shepherds, let's talk about sheep. Eight verses that we have, nine times sheep are mentioned. Nine times. What the Bible pays attention, we pay attention to. And here's a little fun fact for you. The most mentioned animal in the Bible is sheep. I like that stuff. Most mentioned animal, sheep. Most mentioned plant, tree. So what do we know about sheep? Well, time and time again, Jesus is talking about them. We have the parable of the lost sheep, right? If you remember, Jesus looks upon the crowd and he has compassion upon them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. And if you know your Psalms, time and time again, the psalmist says, we are the sheep of his pasture. So you are like a sheep. You are a sheep. So have you ever spent, then, time observing sheep? Thinking to yourself, maybe, well, of all the animals in the animal kingdom, God says, I am like this one. Not a tiger, not a bear, not an eagle, but also not a slug or a sloth. A sheep. In my previous job, when I worked on an Air Force base, I used to basically go for a walk during my break time. And I used to pass by this field every day, and it always had a flock of sheep in it. So I had first-hand experience time and again of observing sheep. Now, one thing I can tell you about sheep, if you don't know, they form bonds easily with each other. So you would rarely see a sheep just 100 meters from any other sheep. They're usually pretty close to each other, huddled up close together. And they're gentle animals. And they're actually not stupid animals. They're not, you know, stupid. They're quite smart. They can recognize a human face. They can differentiate between facial expressions. But what does it mean when the Bible refers to us as sheep? I would say two characteristics of a sheep that definitely is relevant to us. Two things. Firstly, a sheep need protection. And secondly, sheep need direction. How many times, just think about your own prayer life for a second, how often you would just naturally pray, God, give me guidance. God, give me your protection, your protective hand upon me. Yes, sheep, you need it. By nature, you are like that. If you think of a sheep, man, you've got to feel sorry for a sheep. It has no kind of even defensive mechanisms. Like some, even a snail would have like some kind of shell. A sheep has nothing, literally nothing. Like no spines, no venom, no like claws, no teeth, no roar. It can't even run away. It is totally vulnerable. It's just like there. Eat me, please. Like it can't do anything. And if you know anything about sheep, sheep have very little direction. There was a story that came out. Maybe you heard about it. It's quite a well-known story of a sheep that walked off a cliff. It was in Turkey. And 1,500 other sheep just followed it right off a cliff. And 400 of these sheep fell to their death in this ravine. But they actually cushioned the blow of the other 1,100 sheep who fell on them and survived. And the shepherds were just kind of eating their breakfast or something. But it shows us, by their very nature, sheep need protection. By their very nature, sheep need a shepherd. They need somebody to lead them and direct them. Dear sheep, we have a shepherd. And our text tells us he is a good shepherd, which implies that there are some shepherds who are not good. This implies that we need to watch out because we might follow them and we might fall off a cliff. Very easy for us to be easily led away by some false religious shepherd who is whispering to us false teachings or easily can mistreat us. Or some YouTube motivational teacher guru. Oh, I want to know the secrets of success. Oh, tell me the secrets. Or we just end up listening to our own inner shepherd, right? The inner voice. And just end up lost, wandering a mountain somewhere. Jesus deliberately compares himself to other shepherds and says, I'm not like these other shepherds. Take note of it. He says he is not like a hired hand. What does he mean when Jesus says that? He is referring to the Pharisees, the religious leaders who are standing right by him, listening to him speak. And he says, I am not a hired hand. What is a hired hand? The hired hand does not own the sheep. The hired hand is somebody you just employ. He has a job to do. He has a list of responsibilities and tasks to do. But he has no relationship with the sheep. The relationship between the hired hand and the sheep is a transactional relationship. It's just, well, how many sheep do I have? Okay. Where can they graze? Okay. But there is nothing personal from this person invested in the sheep. That's the point that Jesus is making. And so when the wolf, when the enemy comes, the hired hand runs off. Not my business. Jesus is saying he's not like that. He is personally, relationally invested, deeply invested in his sheep. Here's a note. If any of us here are in any kind of leadership capacity, and I speak to myself, beware of the temptation to be a hired hand. And it is there. Very easy just to say, well, what are my responsibilities? What are my duties? I'll tick them off without any personal investment in the people we are leading. Jesus says he lays down his life for the sheep, and he says, follow me. So, I also think when Jesus says this, he has in mind the sheer amount of hired hands, of bad shepherds that the people of Israel have had for the last 1,000 years. If you know your Bible, you will know that Israel had 19 kings leading them. One of them was not totally evil, Jehu. The other ones constantly leading their sheep astray. Judah did a little bit better. Judah had 20 kings, 4 of them tried to care for the sheep. But when Jesus says he is the good shepherd, what he is doing, he is fulfilling the word that God gave to the prophet Ezekiel, where God said through Ezekiel, rebuking those bad shepherds, saying to them, I will be the shepherd of my sheep. You don't know how to take care of the sheep. I will come in and shepherd them. Let me actually give you that. I think it's so powerful. Ezekiel 34, verses 2 to 4, when God himself rebukes the bad shepherds, he says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. They are hired hands. They will flee at the sign of danger. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock, your primary responsibility. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. That's the shepherd's role. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. Ezekiel 34, verses 2 to 4. God goes on in his prophetic word to Ezekiel to say this in verses 11 to 12. He says this. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on day of clouds and darkness. That is what Jesus has come in to fulfill. That is the good shepherd. So, the good shepherd is different from any other leader, no matter what they are. But when you say that word, when you hear the word good, what does it mean? In English, it's a general word, right? Good, he's good. What does it mean? For example, if I was to say to you, how was the party last night? And you said, yeah, it was good. What does that mean? It means, yeah, it was enjoyable. So is that what Jesus is? He is the enjoyable shepherd? Or if I was to say to you, how was the maths exam last week? Ah, it was good. I got a 2. So is that what it means? Jesus is like a 2 shepherd. Or if I was to say to you, how's your mom? How's your mom doing? Yeah, she's good. She's healthy. So is that what it means? Jesus is the healthy shepherd. No, right? So many different meanings. What does it mean? If I was to say to you, are you setting a good example? Maybe we're kind of beginning to get there. What does that mean? Are you setting a moral example? In the Greek, there are 2 words for good. One of them means, yeah, a good moral example, moral excellence, noble, something's intrinsically good. But there is another word for good. And when Jesus says he is the good shepherd, he means the other Greek word for good. It is kalos. The word kalos means both intrinsically, internally good, but also there is something about it which is beautiful, which is lovely, which is noble, which has a winsomeness to it. So we may think about it, when God created the world in Genesis chapter 1, what did he say? He looked upon his creation and he said, it is good. Because it is internally good, it is intrinsically good, and it has a loveliness to it. There is an ordered beauty to it. Jesus The good shepherd is like that. There is something so lovely, so attractive, so beautiful, so noble and upright about him. And he is inherently good. He is not like any other shepherd. He is not a good shepherd. He is not one of many. He is the only one who is inherently good. So that means that every other human shepherd, though they may be faithful and they may care for the sheep the best they can, they must, using biblical language, tear their clothes a little bit and admit their dependency and brokenness upon the one good shepherd, who is the only one who is inherently good. The only one who will 100% be invested, 100% committed, willing to lay down his life for you and I. He is the good shepherd. So the good shepherd is good. The good shepherd also knows his sheep. We carry on. So in verses 14 to 15, John writes this: I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Let's just pause for a moment at that bit. I know my sheep. Just pause there with me. There are very few verses, I think, in the Bible that will cause you and I to breathe, if you allow it. To rest, if you allow it. When you've been a Christian for a little while, you might soon begin to get a few favorite verses. Like, I love that verse. I go back to that verse. And then you kind of discover there are lots of other people's favorite verses as well, right? So here's a favorite psalm. Many people's favorite psalms. One of my favorite psalms. Psalm 139, right? Lord, you know me. You have searched me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I speak that psalm over my children daily. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. What does Jeremiah 29, verse 11 say? I'm sure that's one of our favorite verses. God's plans, they are wonderful. They have plans to give you hope, plans to give you a future. That's a favorite verse. Romans 8, verse 39. Nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love. Let me ask you something. Why are those verses so powerful? Why do they speak to us so much? Because they get at a deepest, greatest desire that we have, which is to be fully known and fully loved. That is our deepest, greatest desire. And the Bible says God satisfies it. He satisfies that desire to be fully known and fully loved. Just think through with me for a moment on a human level. If you're not even a Christian, you're not even a believer, but how powerful it is when someone else knows you. And not just the mask you put up in public, but they know you. That's intimacy. When you tell that embarrassing bit of information to your friend, you let them into your weird little world. You tell them that secret. You haven't told anybody. And you're hoping, what is their reaction going to be? They don't run off. They don't run off. They don't reject you. They take a step towards you. That changes you. Regardless, any relationship that will be life-changing is powerful to be known by somebody else. But you know what? Jesus knows every weird little secret about you and I more than you know it, and he pursues you. He goes after you. But let's go further. Let's go deeper than this, because actually Jesus goes a lot deeper than this. Let's look at just how deep he goes. If you don't want to our next part, we can say this. Jesus says the kind of knowing between the shepherd and the sheep is the knowing between God the Father and God the Son. That's the kind of knowing between God the Father and God the Son. Now, maybe we can handle the fact, okay, God knows me Jesus knows me like he knows the Father. That relationship is the same as he knows me. We could handle that, maybe. But is our text actually saying that we can know him like that? Tread carefully. Well, first of all, is there anything in Scripture which may back this up? Look at John 14. Let's go on to our next slide. Next one again. John 14, verse 21 and verse 23. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And then in verse 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Now, we are not God. We never will be God. Therefore, there are some things that are beyond our understanding. But what Jesus is offering us here is relational, intimate knowledge of him. And he knows something. At the end of the day, especially on Judgment Day, that is the only thing that matters. That is the only thing that matters. Do you know him relationally, intimately? The good shepherd knows his sheep. The sheep know their shepherd, right? That's what our text goes on. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Not everybody is God's sheep. Not everybody is God's sheep because not everybody knows God in this way. You may know a few facts about him, but do you know him? The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And you know something? The shepherd calls them individually by name. He does not say, hey, you lot, hey, you 1,500 sheep, come on, let's go. No, he calls them. He draws them one by one, by name. He has called you. Now, you might get lost. You might try to wander off. But you know something? The voice in which Jesus speaks is so lovely. And it's sometimes a whisper. Sometimes it's a louder voice. In a time of suffering, it may be a louder voice. And this good shepherd is so patient with the sheep. Time and again, they may wander off. Speaking personally, I was one of those sheep which any hired hand would have given up after a few months. Because time and time again, even though he miraculously answered prayer, he met with me in places of true darkness, I kept on trying to hear my voice. And I kept on getting lost. You also may have a testimony, like we heard in Ezekiel, of God continually rescuing you when you were scattered on days of clouds and darkness. Praise God for that testimony. Praise God for the fact that Jesus went after you and patiently called you again and again. Or you may have a testimony where you stayed very close by the side of the Good Shepherd all the way. Praise God for that testimony. Praise God for both. Now, there's one more thing I want to say about this. Verse 16 says this, the Good Shepherd. Verse 16 says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. That means this. There are some sheep out there, sheep. There are some other sheep scattered real far. They may live in some obscure tribe. They may live in some remote village where nobody outside of the village has even heard the name of the village. They may live in a place where Satan has established a stronghold of darkness, but they will still hear the shepherd's voice. But do you know what they need? They need someone to go and tell them about that good shepherd. They need someone to shine the light that has been shown to them. They need someone to share the bread that they have been given. How beautiful are the feet of those who go out to the scattered sheep and tell them about the good shepherd. Dear sheep, you are to do that. Your shepherd has told you to do that. So the good shepherd is good. The good shepherd knows his sheep, and the good shepherd loves his sheep. Fully known, fully loved. Four times in our text, Jesus emphasizes this truth, and he tells us exactly how he loves us. It is his defining mark. He lays down his life for the sheep. He is so invested in their well-being that he is willing to sacrifice his own love. There is no greater love than that. I said a little bit earlier that what sheep need is protection and direction. This is how the good shepherd protects his sheep. Because he's laid down his life on the cross and allowed his blood to be shed, he has covered his defenseless sheep so they are cleansed of any sins, past, present, and future, when they believe in him. He has covered his exposed, vulnerable sheep with a special garment of clothing. The prophet Isaiah calls it a robe of righteousness. Therefore, when Satan or the wolves come accusing, condemning, they have no authority over those who have been covered with this robe of righteousness. No authority. Like Jonathan took off David's cloak and put on his royal cloak, when in the prodigal son, the good loving father comes and says, "Give me the best robe for my prodigal son." Just like that, Jesus has taken off his royal robe and covered it with you, so you are no longer defenseless and exposed and vulnerable. You are protected and saved. This is how the good shepherd saves and protects his sheep, and this is how the good shepherd directs his sheep. First, he gives them directions. He has not left us alone trying to figure it out. He has given us commands and instructions to follow. For example, probably the most relevant one that I can think of in regards to our text is John 15, verses 12 to 13. "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus clearly directed his disciples when he said this. And what did he do the next day? The next day he went out and in the most violent, vivid, explicit way possible, modeled to his sheep what it means to do that. We are to follow him. Now, when Jesus went to the cross, it was a one-time perfect sacrifice. But let's begin to think practically. My sheep, dear sheep, let's think practically. When we're called to follow after Jesus, what does it mean then to lay down our lives following our good shepherd? Here's where I would go with this. What are you holding on to real tight? What is Jesus asking you today? Lay it down. Lay it down and follow me. I don't know about you, but one thing I think of, so many people, and I will include myself, so many people have this need to do it perfect. I need to do it absolutely perfect to the detriment of other people. Maybe Jesus, the good shepherd, is saying to you, lay it down. And instead, leave work a little bit early, go to your children. Go to your wife. Go to your Lord. Lay that down. Maybe he is saying to you, you know what? All those career dreams and those career hopes you have, lay it down for a season. Because I want you to actually care for this person. Something you never thought would be asked of you. But instead, I'm asking you to do this for me, for your good shepherd. The thing is, dear sheep, you're unable to do those things if you cannot hear his voice. So can you hear his voice? There are so many voices in this world we're living in. So many. So many competing voices. So many frightening voices. So many worldly news voices. So many tempting voices. Do you know the shepherd's voice? How might you recognize it? Well, here's where I would go. Jesus, time and time again, departed to a lonely place. Time and time again, he departed from the crowds. You will need to do that. You will need to depart to your own mountain. Depart from your own crowds in order to quietly wait upon the shepherd, to hear his direction in your life. Now, the good shepherd will primarily speak to us through his word. It is not the only way he will speak to us, but it is primary way. You cannot say you love the good shepherd, but you don't love his word. And so here's an idea. Spend some time consecrated, set apart for him, maybe getting up early, going to bed late, where you will quietly meditate upon a portion of scripture saying, Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening. I want to hear your voice and direction in my life. He honors that kind of prayer. But there may be a few of us here today who, you know what? You don't know his voice. You don't actually know it. You know some things about him, but you have never learned to recognize his voice. I want to give you, if that is you, even if it's only a few of you, I want to give you the opportunity to begin to listen. To begin to say, I want to know you. You know me, I want to know you. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. And if I'm speaking to you at this moment, I want to invite you actually to say a prayer after me and take a first step to get to know the Good Shepherd. If you want, you may quietly repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I don't know you that well. I've heard about you, but I don't know your voice. I pray to put aside everything that is hindering me, everything that is stopping me from listening to you. I pray to draw near to you today, as you promised to draw near to me. I'm sorry for doing things my way, time and time again. I pray, would you please come into my life and make yourself known to me? Now let me also ask for another moment of silence. You may know the shepherd's voice, but it's distant and you're struggling to hear it. I just want to ask, Holy Spirit, would you please reveal to any of my brothers and sisters if there's anything they need to lay down, if there's anything they're holding on to really tight that is hindering them from hearing your direction, would you please be so merciful as to just give a prompting. Put it on the hearts of my brothers and sisters this moment. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a good shepherd who is always good, who is beautiful and lovely and upright and always has good plans for us. You lay down your life for us, covering us, defenseless sheep, with a robe of righteousness. So we do not have to listen to any other competing worldly voice. We only have to listen to your voice, knowing that you have good plans to take us into pastures, and they may be new pastures. I pray that we would only hear your voice in our life, taking hold of that truth, that you have laid down your life for us because you are our good shepherd. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.